I'm Jack Lessenberry.
I woke up this morning thinking about Asian carp. I noticed that our state Senate spent much of yesterday doing things like voting to cut funding for those trying to get off Medicaid. Meanwhile, despite the fact that many urban areas like Ann Arbor are overrun with white-tailed deer, the state house is voting to outlaw sterilizing them. I can't imagine why anyone would say that our lawmakers don't have their priorities straight. Today, I decided invasive species deserved more attention. 5 years ago, I thought that bighead and or silver carp would be firmly established in Lake Erie by now, given governments dragging its feet on serious efforts to keep them out. But the good news is that this evidently hasn't happened. Of course, other harmful invasive species like zebra mussels and round gobies are firmly established in the lakes, and I started wondering how many invasive species are presently altering the lake's ecology. So I sat down with two people who eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff. Rochelle Sturtevant is the Ann Arbor-based Michigan Program Manager for a federal program called GLANCES, which stands for the Great Lakes Aquatic Non-Indigenous Species Information System. Jay Hemdel, who lives in Dundee, is the general curator at the Toledo Zoo, but has worked with aquatic animals for more than 40 years and has done research into how invasive species flourish. They were able to answer my question about how many invasive species have been established in what's been called the Great Lakes ecosystem, more than 180, including at least 25 species of fish, including the predatory sea lampreys and beach-fowling alewives. Most of the rest are plants, including species I had no idea were not native, including the common reed, some forms of cattail, and the ubiquitous purple loosestrife. Even when these don't do clear direct damage themselves, they crowd out native species. Sturtevant surprised me by saying that only about 30% of invasive species have gotten into ships' ballast water, something that became a problem after the St. Lawrence Seaway opened in the 1950s. In too many other cases, misguided people deliberately introduced species, or they accidentally escaped into the water, which seems to be how Asian carp got into the Mississippi. Actually, both experts thought we do have a fairly good chance of keeping Asian carp from being established in the lakes. Ironically, Hemdel said, this may be in part because earlier invasive species, like the gobies, are sucking up most of what would be the carp's natural food sources. While individual Asian carp may have gotten to the lakes, Hemdel thinks you need to have about 50 for them to have a stable breeding population. However, he admitted, it could happen with far fewer fish. There are days, Hemdel admitted, when he's tempted to throw up his hands and admit trying to preserve the Great Lakes ecosystem is hopeless. But it's a battle too important to give up. Rochelle Sturtevant told me that the government has been able to successfully launch several successful projects combating invasive species, thanks to funding from the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. That's the program that the Trump administration has unsuccessfully tried to kill every year. If there's any issue worth pushing Congress to keep fighting the White House on, this is it.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's news analyst.